like Good Morning Grace. Are you glad to be back in the house of the Lord? Woo! We're so glad you're here, and we're so glad you guys are out there as well. And listen, it's whatever time is right for you, that's the right time. But we are glad to have the doors of God's house open, and we are so excited on this Mother's Day to welcome you back to Grace. We enjoyed a wonderful first service, and you look great this morning. I see some smiling eyes, and I'm going to need your help, though. I need to know if you're paying attention. So if you want to say amen, nobody will know, okay? And if you want to shake your head, that would be good. Just participate. We're so glad to have some of our family here. All of our kids are here, and our G-baby, Miss Lucy, is here. Have you got a shot? Can you get a shot of her up there? Oh, yeah, there she is. My girl. Oh, yes. We've had a great weekend, and what a wonderful time it is to be in the house of the Lord. And happy Mother's Day to my baby girl for the first time, and then to her sweet mom who's styling a beautiful mask. Thanks to our Hugs Ministry ladies. I want you to join me, because not only do we have masks, but we've given away many, many masks to our frontline first responders and others. Join me in thanking the Hugs Ministry for providing these for us. Thank you. Thank you for helping us with the guidelines. Some of you may say, what about the platform? What about you and the people up there on the platform? Let me just say that I was privileged to be on a Zoom call with our governor this week. There were 30 pastors from around the state that he spoke with personally and prayed for us. And that question was asked, what about masks on the platform? Because if I were preaching, So we said, what about these? And they said, no, from the governor's office, from the platforms, because of the separation, you're perfectly fine. People have asked about children. It's great to see kids here. The CDC recommends that 2 and under not wear masks, and even little ones, just be careful with that. But if they're really small, of course, not to put a mask on them. If you would like a specially sized mask for children and for those watching, we do have those made as well, and they're really, really cute. In fact, our Hugs Ministry made them before Disney. We're not going to charge for them, though, okay? Disney's profiting, and that's okay. It's what they do. But they're making cute masks, and we're making cute mask. I want to tell you a couple of things by way of just thank yous and information before we jump in. Huge thank yous to everybody, all the volunteers who've made today possible, facilities crew who have fumigated and sanitized and cleaned everything between the first service and this service. Thank you to all of you for registering. We will register for services next Sunday. Now, this is always assuming something doesn't change. If the regulations change, if something changes, we'll modify, of course. But all of these last 8 to 9 weeks, we've been straight in line with Romans 13 in obedience to governing authorities while trying to love God and love neighbors well. And again, we've been given the green light on regathering with all of these protocols in place, so we'll continue. Registration will open tomorrow. And the reason we're going to do that for you guys and for those that are going to want to join us, we had to see how our space looked today. This was a dry run, and we cut the registrations off actually really early. We could definitely fit more people, especially in the balcony. So we're going to open it up. It'll be tomorrow. Watch for emails, social media, and if you don't have the app yet, this is a good reason to get it. We'll give you push notifications through the app. So you can download that now. Also, you can access the Grace Kids material through our website or our app. It's a little easier on the app. First service, I saw several kiddos with headphones and such. But listen, if they want to talk back, whatnot, that's fine. It's not a problem in here as we engage in family worship. This Wednesday night, we will be back online with a praise night. We have a night of praise. And then the following, we hope to be on campus because we need to do a business conference. We have something exciting to share with you about Grace Biblical Counseling and facilities and other things. We need a business conference. We're going to aim for the 20th again. Whatever we do through at least May 28th, that's our phase one in Tennessee. Whatever we do, we'll be registered and you will be notified in plenty of time. But thank you for getting out. I just, as in praying and seeking the Lord's face, I kept coming back to if restaurants, if some types of entertainment places were beginning to open, the Smokies and other things, if other things both inside and out were beginning to open, we could safely accommodate folks here, and we're doing everything we can to make that a reality. So thank you for all of your help in that. We appreciate it so much. And when we send information out, please plan to register. And if you're out there and you say, I need to stay home several more weeks or even several more months, please do what the Lord leads you to do, what is best for you and your family. There is no pressure or judgment here. There's no more holiness in the room than where you sit. But we do want you to know your church is available for you. And we've been having folks getting saved. We've been having folks asking about uniting with the church. We've had family restorations. We've had all kinds of things happening in the last few months. And I'll tell you a little more at the end today. But again, thank you for coming. Would you take your Bibles and open them to 2 Timothy? We'll pick back up in our journey with Ruth next week. But for today, I want to bring you a special message for moms. I really don't like Mother's Day, Father's Day, and special events to pass without looking to the Scripture to see what the Lord has to say about these wonderful people in our lives. And there are many instances in the Bible where we can honor God by honoring the special people around us. I don't know if you guys have heard about this new show that's supposed to come out. It's a Survivor-type show, and it's pretty fascinating. I think I'm going to watch it. It's six dads dropped off on an island with one minivan and four kids each, okay? And here are the challenges. Each kid must play two sports and either take music or dance classes. Each man must take care of his four kids, keep his assigned house clean, correct all homework, complete science projects, cook, and do laundry. The men must learn to shave their legs and wear makeup daily, and they must apply it to themselves while driving or making four lunches. They must attend weekly parent-teacher meetings. They've got to clean up after their sick children at 3 a.m. They've got to make an Indian hut model with six toothpicks, a tortilla, and one magic marker. And they've got to get a four-year-old to eat a whole serving of peas. And here's the cool part. The kids vote off the dads each week based on performance, and the winner gets to go back to his job. What do you think? That's a good show, right? It's a good show. Listen, if evolution were true, why do mamas still only have two hands, right? I mean, let's get real for a minute. You ladies do so much more than we realize, and some of you men, particularly those that have been working from home lately, you have a newfound appreciation, don't you? Just like some of you have a newfound appreciation for your teachers, don't you? You realize it wasn't them. And so your parent-teacher conferences have looked differently. And so, you know, I'm going to be preaching today about this message, under the influence. Now, normally we use that phrase sort of in a negative way. If somebody gets a DUI, they're driving under the influence, right? And so under the influence, many times we think, well, he's influenced by alcohol or he's influenced by drugs or this or that. But, you know, influence is a very positive thing as well. I was telling my kids when we were talking about these masks, and I know nobody really likes this, and I know it feels strange and it's weird and it may make you hotter and, you know, you're especially singing and things, but there's such a thing as positive peer pressure. And when we agree that we're going to try to do these things together, if we're able, we're going to do these things together, it makes it better for us all. And I love the fact that 2 Timothy is the very last letter known to have been written by the Apostle Paul. Now think about this. If this were your last letter on earth, if you're sitting in a Roman prison cell, if you know that there is a wicked emperor named Nero, and very soon you're going to lose your head, history tells us, then what would you say in those final words? Well, Paul is talking to his young son in the ministry, Timothy, and one of the things he comes right out of the gate with is, I'm going to thank God because of the faith that I see in you, young man. And I'm going to thank God because it first dwelt in your grandmother, and then it dwelt in your mom. And because of that lineage, you have been under their influence, and God now has this faith deeply rooted in your own heart and life. It's one of my absolute favorite texts of all when it comes to moms. And this year in particular, I thought it might be special to talk about grandmas just a little too, okay? Because we're kind of digging this new stage of life. Stand with us as we honor the reading of God's word. And if you're able, wherever you are at home, do likewise. It's so nice to say that and see movement. The camera never did move the last 8 weeks. So thank you. Let's take the word of God and let's look. So Paul's writing to Timothy, his beloved son, and he said this in 2 Timothy 1:3. I thank God, whom I serve with a pure conscience, as my forefathers did. Notice there's a lineage here. As without ceasing, I remember you in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see you, being mindful of your tears, that I may be filled with joy Now, look at this. He says, I'm in prison. I'd love to see you. He invites Timothy to be with him in Rome. He said, but I want to be filled with joy, and I have that, five, when I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you, which dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded is in you also. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you so very much for the chance to begin regathering with some of our brothers and sisters. And I know, Lord, we've had a great turnout here today with many coming back, but we have so many, not even thousands, but tens of thousands who have been tuning in every single week, making decisions for Jesus, and not just in our area, but across the state, nation, and even world. And Lord, whether they're mamas out there today or grandmothers, whether they're young ladies or ladies that have never had children, no matter where they are, what age or stage, what season of life, no matter their background or even their future, I pray that you would speak to every woman's heart and all of us also, Lord, that you have a word for each of us about faithfulness and influence. And I thank you for our moms today, as I was just able to talk to mine a little while ago and she tuned in earlier. And thankful as I look over at my beautiful bride and our oldest, who's now a mommy this year. What a blessing and what a gift. Thank you for the opportunity to come and to celebrate it today, and most of all, to celebrate Jesus, in whose name we pray. Amen. Thank you and be seated. Let me give you a couple of key points to think about. Now, your app will have, we're not going to pass anything out for a little bit, but your app will have these notes on there if you want to write them down. Just a couple of simple truths. First thing I want you to see, faithful mothers can have a positive influence. Faithful mothers can have a positive influence. That's kind of what I want to start with. We see in verse 4, Paul remembered Timothy's tears on their last parting, possibly at his second Roman arrest. And in this last letter, he would say, Timothy, could you join me in Rome? Could you come and be with me? It would be such a joy. One of the things I've discovered in the last 2 months, in addition to learning how to Zoom, I think I'm a Zoom master maybe now, I don't know, but in addition to learning all these things and doing small grace group online and things like that, as our group's been meeting, I realized this. I'm grateful to the Lord for the technology, but I realized the major deficiency. It's the reason I've often said with things like social media that sometimes we say more and communicate less than ever before. I think there's a longing put in the human heart for companionship, being together. Now, some of you that have been around larger families, maybe you're thinking, no, I need to get away for a while. I need some alone time. But I want you to pause and think about all the people and those of you watching that have actually been quarantined without others in their home. Think about our widow and widowers. Think about those who maybe are at a particular season of life where there aren't a lot of people around. Now, imagine the same 8 or 9 or 10 weeks where there have been very few things. We've been out, been able to get up and go, been able to go walk a lot and spend a lot of time outside, do special things as a family, even as we did yesterday. But some people have not been able to do that. Some have pre-existing conditions and have not been able to be around a lot of other people. And so Paul, Roman prison, there's this longing in his heart to be around fellow believers, this longing in his heart to be around this particular son in the ministry, because Paul recognizes something in him. Paul is remembering, look at verse 5, the genuine faith that is in Timothy. Love that word, genuine, or your Bible may say sincere. It's actually a negative participle in Greek. Let me tell you what that means. The main word is hypokrinomai. I've talked about that word before. It's where we get the English hypocrite. You know what a hypocrite is, right? A mask wearer. Not you. Different kind of mask. A mask wearer in that culture was somebody who was like a stage actor. I'm a man, but maybe I'm going to put on a mask and change my voice and be a woman. Or I'm going to put on a mask and be, you know, a bear or a wolf. Or I'm going to play. I'm going to play a part. Not this kind, but kind of a full covering mask. I'm going to play. I'm going to act. Hypocrite. Jesus used that word a lot. Don't be a hypocrite. Be the real deal. Don't be a mask wearer. Not like this. But and what Paul does is he negates that by putting a little A in front of it. In the Greek, that little A negates something. So for instance, if I have the word theos, it means God. If I put an A in front of it, it's atheos, where we get atheist, no God. An atheist says, I don't believe there's a God, no God. So he says, I see in you, Timothy, something that was given to you, passed down generationally. I see in you an ahupokrinomai, a genuine, non-hypocritical faith. Timothy, you're not wearing any kind of play mask. And I'll tell you how I see it. He says this, it's in you, but it first dwelt in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice. I see something that's been passed into you. I wrote something down. I want you to get down if you have notes open. The genuineness of a parent's faith is often apparent in the lives of their children and grandchildren. Now, let me look at that with you for a minute, and let's look at the words. The genuineness, the unhypocritical nature of a parent's faith is often. Notice I did not use the word always. Some of you may have preferred me to use the word always, and maybe even a verse came to mind. The genuineness of our faith as parents is often apparent in the lives of our children and grandchildren. Now, I need you to listen super close to this. I'm going to try to bust a myth, all right? I'm going to be a myth buster for a moment. And I'm taking some of my notes from James Dobson's Family Talk. Some of the stuff they put out is pretty good, and I've kind of reworked a little bit of this. But listen to what they say. You've heard it said that the children of godly parents sometimes go into severe rebellion, and sometimes they never return to the faith they were taught. I've seen this happen to some wonderful families that loved the Lord and were committed to the church, but it appears contrary to Scripture. Let's think about this verse we all know if you've been in church long. Proverbs 22:6. In the King James, it says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he'll not depart from it. Now, that sounds like a divine guarantee. If you'll do your part, mom, dad, if grandparents will pour into parents, will pour into children, if we'll do our part, then a child will never go away. But does it mean that? Does it mean that all wayward offspring will return sooner or later to the fold? Let me tell you what I'm going to give you an interpretation here, and you got to listen to the whole thing for it to make sense. I wish that this proverb could be interpreted so definitively. And I know it's the common understanding. And I know parents will say it. Well, I'm just trusting in the Lord. We've raised him right, and he's going to come back. Listen to me. John White wrote a book called Parents in Pain. And he makes this case, and he makes an excellent case, that actually the Proverbs are often not intended to be absolute promises from God, but probabilities of things that are likely to occur. Now, this is going to help some folks. Solomon, who wrote Proverbs, was the wisest man on earth at the time. His purpose was to convey his divinely inspired observations on human nature and God's work in the universe. So he looked at a given set of circumstances, and he expected a specific consequence, but it was not guaranteed. See, several interpretations and observations have been lifted out of context to stand as promises of God. And if you insist on this interpretation, every wayward child must come back, then what about the other proverbs? Proverb 10:4, lazy hands make a man poor, but diligent hands bring wealth. Diligent hands bring wealth? Anybody ever known somebody that's worked hard, really a hard worker, but they're still poor? Sure you have. And you've probably known some lazy folks that have gotten rich. Well, it's a general principle. Listen to Proverbs 10:27. The fear of the Lord adds length to life, but the years of the wicked are cut short. Anybody ever known wicked folks that lived a long time and good Bible-believing Christian folks that died young? Folks, I've done funerals from little caskets all the way down. And I'm telling you, there have been Christians dying with the testimony of Jesus on their lips and still dying young. What we have are general principles. You say, well, why would you say that? You're killing my hope. No, I'm not. Listen to me carefully. Some of y'all have held on to guilt and shame and pain far too long. You've made these promises, but I'm here to tell you, God doesn't have grandchildren. God has children. And when your child reaches a moral age of accountability, whether you want to call that adulthood or whatever it is, they must stand before God on their own. And some of you have said, maybe we messed up. My kid went off track, so maybe we did it. Maybe it was our fault. If we had been more faithful or holy or godly, they would come back. Stop beating yourself up and trust that child to the hands of the Lord. You see, you keep praying, you keep persevering, you keep trusting God, but remember this, God has this general principle that if we train them up, they're going to come back to the Lord. They're not going to depart. But here's what I know, and I've told my own children. I've poured into our oldest Heather, as has her mama Cindy. We hope that by pouring into her, and we pray that she continues to pour into her child or children one day, that she and Parker, as a godly couple, will pour in. Now, that's happening, and so we believe Miss Lucy will come to faith in Christ one day. We believe that she'll become a godly young lady. We believe that God's going to honor that. But as I've told my own children, the genuineness of their decision to trust Jesus is proven by time. It's not proven by a prayer or daddy baptizing you. It's proven by time. The genuineness of whether Holly and Hannah and Bobby, our other kids, have trusted Jesus is proven in time. And so some of y'all, you got to quit beating yourself up on this. You keep trusting the Lord. You keep trusting that God can bring that child back. You keep praying. You keep seeking the face of God. But quit guilting yourself to death that you missed something. Trust that the Lord knows best. But this is kind of like in my own family. I'll tell you about the faith of my nanny. Now, my granny was a godly woman too, daddy's mom. But my mom's mom, my sweet little nanny, godly little lady and a prayer warrior, and she poured her faith into my mom and her siblings. She poured that faith out in her actions, in her prayer life, in taking them to church and raising them up the right way. And my mother, consequently, had me in church 9 months before I was born. My father did not go to church when I was little. My daddy did not go with us up until I was about 7 years old, between 7 and 8, just a year or so before I would give my life to Christ. But my mother is the one. My mom is the one who was poured into by her mom, even much more so than my grandfather at that time, my big daddy we called him, and then poured in from nanny to mom, so from Bela to Nancy and from Nancy to Bobby. You see, consider this faith of Timothy's mother and grandmother. Consider the faith of Eunice and Lois here. You see, they were Jews who came to believe in Jesus as the promised Messiah. In this culture, Jewish fathers were primarily responsible for their sons' instruction in the law. But listen, Timothy's father, by all accounts, was not a believer, and he was not a Jew. He was a Gentile. We read that in Acts 16. Acts 16:1, he, Paul, came to Derbe and Lystra, and behold, a certain disciple was there named Timothy, the son of a certain Jewish woman who believed, but his father was Greek. What's the writer saying? What's Luke, the writer of Acts, saying there? Saying, well, Timothy's mama was a Jewish believer, Messianic Jew, Christian Jew, however you want to say that. She was a believer in Jesus, but not so much the father. We're not sure if the language means, but he didn't believe, but it would certainly appear that way. At least we know he was a non-Greek. Now, Christian moms and grandmas, you may feel alone in your faith in your home, but do not sell yourself short and don't sell God short. The Bible says God's arm is not short that he cannot save. The Lord can still save husbands and children and grandchildren. I want you to picture for me an old woman with a halo of silver hair, hot tears flowing down furrowed cheeks, hands worn and busy over a washtub in a room of poverty. She's praying. She's always praying for John. John, her wayward son, who ran away from home in his teens to become a sailor. A sailor with all that it would entail in those days, and it was now reported he was a very foul-mouthed, wicked man. She's always praying, always trusting God, always believing that the Lord may in fact use her wayward son for the glory of God. Well, eventually, the Lord would answer her prayer because she never stopped believing in the power of prayer or the power of God's reformation power. And eventually, old John would come to know Jesus. You know him. His name is John Newton, and he penned one of our most beloved hymns. And I love hearing my family sing, but I'm really ready to hear some of y'all sing. So push it out through those masks. You know his most famous song. Let's just sing the first verse, and I'll probably back out, and I want Scotty to be able to crank it so that everybody out there can hear the people of God gathered singing the praises of God. This one who was so wretched and so blind and so far from God, John Newton, is called back. Do you know it? Sing it. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound.
I
see that song has even more meaning when you know how far from God this one John Newton had become. But at home, Mama wouldn't stop praying. Mama wouldn't stop believing. And because of that faith, it was eventually found root and fruit in her son. I love these words, this famous quote from Theodore Roosevelt. Roosevelt said this, "When all is said, it is the mother, and the mother only, who is a better citizen than even the soldier who fights for his country. The successful mother, the mother who does her part in rearing and training aright the boys and girls who are to be the men and women of the next generation, is of greater use to the community and occupies, if only she would realize it, a more honorable as well as more important position than any man in it." And the fellows go, amen to that. The mother is the one supreme asset of the national life. She is more important by far than the successful statesman, businessman, artist, or scientist. And I agree with every word. The mother is really the glue. And us fellows know, even us pastors around here know, as we've been able to get back together and get back more into our campus and our regular routines, we know it's the ladies around us, be they moms, grandmas, or just dear ladies around us. We know that they are the glue and they are the engine. So faithful mothers can have a positive influence. Check this out, though. Faithful mothers can also have a permanent influence. A permanent influence. You see that in 5. Paul says, "I'm calling to remembrance, Timothy, your genuine faith which is in you. It dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I'm persuaded is in you." You say, well, how do you know that's a permanent influence? Well, because salvation is permanent. And if I can prove that this faith is a salvation faith, then the influence of Eunice and Lois on Timothy is permanent. It lasts this lifetime and longer, and I think I can prove it. 2 Timothy 3:13-15. Later in the book, Paul would say, "But evil men and imposters will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But Timothy, you've got to continue in the things which you've learned and been assured of." Now listen to this. "Knowing from whom you've learned them, that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus." It wasn't Paul teaching him the Holy Scriptures from childhood. It was Lois and it was Eunice, Jewish women that came to trust Jesus as Lord and Savior, that began to understand the most important text in the Shema, in the Bible for them was the Shema, Deuteronomy 6, that said, you've got to put God first. He is the one and only true God. You love him with all of your being and you teach about him and you talk about him at home. And when you get up and when you lie down and when you go out and when you stay in, you're teaching the things of God. And this is a salvation faith. You teach these things diligently to your children and you pray that they in turn teach them to their children. See, the pathway of salvation for Timothy was laid by grandma and mom. Now, they didn't save him. Mamas, you would, I know you would, but you can't save your babies when it comes to faith in Jesus. It's a personal application. But they laid the right foundation for there to be good fruit that would emerge. 2 Timothy 3:15 tells us Timothy was taught scripture from his family at an early age, making him wise unto salvation. So parents, don't take your task lightly. Marge was picking up her children at school, and another mother she knew rushed up to her. Emily was fuming with indignation. "Do you know what you and I are?" Emily asked her friend Marge, and Marge couldn't even answer, and Emily blurted out the reason for her question. Seems she had been at the DMV that day trying to renew her driver's license, and the clerk asked her to state her occupation. Emily hesitated. She wasn't sure how to classify herself. "Well, what I mean," the recorder said, "is do you have a job or are you just a..." Oh, buddy. Dangerous question for a mama on edge. Emily snapped back, "Well, I'm a mother." "Well, we don't list mother as an occupation. I'll just put down housewife." Woo, Emily was hot. And she shared all of that with Marge. Well, it just so happened that later that week, Marge found herself in the same situation, this time at town hall. The clerk was obviously a career woman, poised, efficient, possessing a great high-sounding title like town registrar. "What is your occupation?" she asked. Well, you see, Marge was ready, and it popped right out of her mouth. Marge said, "I am a research associate in the field of child development and human relations." "Might I ask," the clerk said, "just what does that mean? What do you do in your field?" And coolly and without a trace of fluster in her voice, Marge said, "Well, I have a continuing program of research in the laboratory and on the field. I'm working for my master's and already have 4 credits. Of course, the job is one of the most demanding in all the humanities, and I often work 14 hours or more a day. See, my job is more challenging than most run-of-the-mill careers, and the rewards and satisfaction are much greater than money." And there's this increasing note of respect in the clerk's voice as she completes the form, stands up, and personally ushers Marge to the door. Now, Marge drives away, buoyed up by this glamorous new career, and she was greeted by her lab assistants, ages 13, 7, and 3. Upstairs, she could hear the new experimental model, now 6 months old, in her child development program testing out a new vocal pattern. And Marge felt triumphant. Mamas, grandmas, let me say something to you today. Doesn't matter to me if you call yourself a research associate in the field of child development and human relations, or if you're just mom. We love you and we appreciate you. We thank God for you. I see some of you, you're dealing with little children out there. Thank you for your efforts. Thank you for doing what very few of us would really be ready and able to do, because we know there's something special about you moms. Last night, we had had Miss Lucy with us, and she had been in our room for the last 2 nights. We wanted to give Heather and Parker a little bit of a break, and so we had put a playpen in our room, and my beautiful bride had gotten up when necessary and or put a passy in when necessary or done whatever she needed to do. But last night, sorry, Heather, I'm telling on you, a little after midnight, I'm told, I don't know because I just rolled over, I'm told that Heather texted up and talked to Cindy and said, "I need to come get her." Not that anything was wrong. Lucy was fine. Lucy was asleep. But a mama's heart said, "You know, it's been 2 nights and y'all have had my baby up there and I've got to come get her. I've got to be able to see her face. I've got to be able to be there for her." And you know what? I understand that and I appreciate it. And I'm finding this, go ahead and take the baby. We've played with her and had our fun. I'm finding that's the greatest part of grandparenting right now. And oh, she's used to bathroom. Whoops, needs a diaper. Here you go, mama. It's such a wonderful thing. Or dad, it's such a wonderful thing and such a wonderful time. But a mama's heart to say, you know what? That's my baby. I need my baby back. That's wonderful, and it's great. And, you know, I think God has built you that way. Don't ever forget, you can make a permanent impact on your children, but you've got to share with them the truth of God's word. It's not about reading the latest parenting book. It's about keeping yourself and them in the book of life, and making sure they understand that here they can become wise unto salvation. You may think what you do right now when they're so tiny doesn't matter, but it all makes a difference. And if you're not a mother or a grandmother here today, let me say, if you're a lady, God has made you special to have influence and purpose. And don't let that be based on how many kids you have or don't have. Let that be based on who you are in Christ, even with identities. I love what one of our ladies said in a Q&A a while back. Your first identity is not wife. Your first identity is not even mom. Your first identity, if you know Jesus, is child of God, daughter of the King. And so your worth and your identity comes from who you are in Christ. These other things are just gifts from the Lord. What have we learned? Faithful mothers can have a positive influence, and faithful mothers can have a permanent influence. I thank God that my grandmother poured into my mother, who poured into me and left a permanent influence of the gospel in my life. I love this closing story. It's about a grandma, some 90 plus years, who sat feebly on the piano bench. She didn't move, just sat with her head down, staring at her hands. I came up and asked if she was okay, and she raised her head and she looked at me and she smiled and said, "Yes, I'm doing okay. Thank you for asking." "Well, I didn't mean to disturb you, Grandma, but you're just sitting there staring at your hands, and I wanted to make sure you were all right." And Grandma said, "Have you ever looked at your hands? I mean, really looked at your hands?" She stared down at her own, and I began to notice, you know, I really hadn't paid much attention to my hands. Grandma smiled and said this, Stop and think for a moment about the hands you have and how they've served you well through the years. These hands, though wrinkled and shriveled and weak, have become the tools I've used all my life to reach out and grab and embrace life. They braced and caught my fall when I was a toddler and crashed on the floor. They put food in my mouth and clothes on my back. And as a child, my mother taught me how to fold them in prayer. They tied my shoes and pulled on my boots and held my husband and wiped my tears when he went off to war. They've been dirty and scraped and raw and swollen and bent. They've been decorated with my wedding band and showed the world that I'd married and loved someone special. They wrote letters to him and trembled and shook when I buried my parents many years later. And they shook again when I buried my husband, your grandpa. They were uneasy and clumsy when I tried to hold my newborn. And they've held my children and grandchildren and consoled my neighbors and shook fists of anger when I didn't understand. And they've covered my face and combed my hair and washed and cleaned the rest of me. And to this day, when not much of anything else works real well, these hands still hold me up and lay me down and continue to be folded in prayer. These hands are the mark of where I've been and the ruggedness of this life. But more importantly, it will be these hands that my Lord and Savior will reach out and take when he leads me home. And with these hands, he'll lift me to his side, and there I'll use these hands to touch the face of Jesus. You see, whether your hands are young and smooth or older and well-worn, the mothers and grandmothers who have the most beautiful hands are those who point us to the nail-scarred hands of the Lord Jesus. When I think about my own mother's influence, young in my life and all the way through, when I look down here and see my beautiful, sweet Cindy, who is just as pretty on the inside as the out, mask and all, who's put Miss Lucy to sleep, obviously, and when I can look from her face to the face of our first baby girl, to the face of her first baby girl, and then all the way down to our second child, Holly, and our third, Hannah, and our fourth, Bobby. And when I think about the legacy that God poured into us from those before us, and the legacy that we're trying to pour into our children and pray that they take it for their own, that they just don't walk on mom and daddy's heels, they take it and embrace it, and I see that in their lives. And I see the desire to worship and the desire to serve. As I see that, I'm so thankful that the Lord Jesus Christ was willing to leave that intimacy and perfect relationship of heaven because he knew we needed more than a Zoom with him. We needed him incarnate, in the flesh. He was willing to walk the dusty streets of our sin-cursed world. He was willing to go all the way and take the shame and pain and punishment of your sin and my sin on him at Calvary's cross. And they buried him, and they put him in that tomb. But as you remember, the sun was going down on Friday, and they couldn't finish the job. So who do you think were the very first witnesses to the tomb that Easter Sunday morning? God chose ladies, special women who would get up early and work hard and say, we've got to go finish the task. They would see the stone rolled away. They would see the angels. They would see the Lord Jesus himself. They would be the first witnesses to the greatest event the world has ever known. And they would go and tell, and they've been telling ever since. Mamas and grandmas and sweet aunts and dear ladies in our lives, they have poured into us. They have wiped our snotty noses and changed our diapers and loved us through teen years and through marriage and grandchildren, and they continue to do so. And ladies, I think you're a precious gift from the Lord. And if your mama is still alive, tell her how much she means to you. If she shared the gospel with you, tell her how appreciative you are. Maybe your mama didn't walk with Jesus. Maybe you don't even know your biological mother. Whoever has been a mom in your life, tell them how much they mean. Tell them how much you're thankful for them. One of the greatest joys and privileges of all of our life is to have Christian mothers and grandmothers, Christian families, and to be under the influence. Now, I'm not going to share a come forward invitation today, although I'm going to have some pastors down front over here in just a few minutes, to your right, over here to my left. They're going to be waiting. And I am going to ask you not to come to the altar because of just keeping our protocols in place, but on the Connect card or online, you can indicate decisions. People have been telling us about decisions pretty much every week, prayer requests and needs. And on that card, you can fill it out as this video is playing, and you can drop it off in the black boxes on your way out, okay? But we wanted to close. You saw a funny video with the little mom device in the beginning. But I want to show you one here for the next minute and a half or so to kind of bring the plane down to a landing. And I want you to see this. And I want to say from the bottom of my heart, we love and appreciate you. Thank you for getting up. Thank you for having church out of your pajamas and maybe even with a shower. It's different, isn't it? It's kind of weird. You couldn't get up 17 times and go get a snack, and I'm sorry, but snacks aren't safe for us to pass out right now, maybe when they are. But here's what I would say. We love you and appreciate you. I'm going to come back right after the video and give you some final instructions, but we are going to have an invitation. It's just going to look a little bit different, okay? So you guys enjoy this video. It's about a minute and a half.
For the moms who raised us up, gave us hope, and made us strong. For the young moms who became moms sooner than expected and gave it all they had. For the single moms who had to figure out how to do this on their own. For those who never got called mom, but who cared for us all like a mom would. For the hurting moms who've loved and lost but never given up. For the praying moms who don't always know what to do, but always know who to talk to. For the working moms, the stay-home moms, the cooking moms, and the takeout moms. For taking care of us when you barely had enough time to take care of yourself. For teaching us how to walk and how to make a difference. For the late-night snuggles and the early morning pancakes. For sitting with us after our first breakup. For lifting us up when others put us down. For the rides, the meals, the laundry, and the birthday parties. For the years, tears, laughter, and love. It's not enough, but we want to say thank you. Thank you for doing for us what we could never do for ourselves. We love you. We honor you. We remember you. We thank you.
As you're standing, let's thank all of our moms here and all of those who are watching, okay? Wherever you are out there, wherever you are in here, we love you and we appreciate you. We honor the Lord in honoring you today. I'd love to be able to give you something, but know that we're giving you our hearts and our love. We are so blessed in these days to be able to give special gifts to places in need. We have been able to help a number of churches in our area. We've given extra gifts to a number of our partners around East Tennessee, North America, and the world. And I'll be honest with you, folks, I have been blown away, as all of us have, by your generous spirit. I have said it. You've heard it on video. If you've watched, you have been so faithful. And as we chose not to take any kind of governmental assistance through the church or the school, we did that very prayerfully and purposefully. And you have been so good to step up. Our giving has been astronomically good, and we have not had to furlough or lay off. But we also have been able to increase ministry influence. And that's so important. Some places, even around our state, have been hit much harder than we have. And they've not only been hit by COVID-19, they've had this double whammy of natural disasters sort of coming on them by waves. So we've been trying to reach out and be very purposeful in our giving. But thank you for helping us to do that. If you have gifts, feel free to continue to give those online or drop those in the black boxes on your exit along with Connect cards. And remember, pastors will be here. Now, I'm going to ask you to do what I ask in the first service. It's not quite as important this time, but it's still very important because we have a hardworking facilities team. And because we have excellent fumigation equipment that's safe and non-toxic and proven to kill any kind of bugs, but they're going to want to fumigate every space that people have been in, and they're going to want to wipe all the other surfaces down. And so when I say amen, if you do want to come over and you do want to talk, they're going to be pastors. In fact, can I get a few of you guys to go ahead and make your way down here? Pastor Frank's already down, but I see Pastor Kevin, a couple of guys that'll be over here waiting, and this great team that's been working hard. If you do want to make a decision, there'll be some guys to talk to you. If you want to join the church, through a mask and a smiley eye, okay, that's fine. We'd love to have you. Everything we have has been cleaned. There's no surface here that hasn't been scrubbed. In fact, I'm amazed that this pulpit even has any black left on it, because they've done such a great job cleaning things. But again, thank you for coming. Wednesday night again is an online praise service, worship, night of praise with music. The following, we may be back. By tomorrow, sometime in the day, you will get notified on registration. Please help us. And online, listen carefully. Please register. Remember, you always have the deregistration option, but if you do deregister, you may be bumping someone else out of a seat. Today, we kept the numbers really low because there's still a lot of people, but we kept it lower because we didn't want to take a chance. Next week, we're going to be able to open that up a little bit more. We should be able to accommodate more of you, because I'm sorry that we did have to turn some folks away from live worship. I apologize. We're doing the best we can, and we wanted to make a very conservative guess. Anytime I have to lean, I'm going to lean toward conservatism. So we leaned conservative. Now, that being said, on tomorrow at some point, hopefully before lunch, we'll have a link ready. You can sign up. It won't take you but a minute. Hey, I want us to do one more thing. Kids that were in the room, you did a phenomenal job. Let's thank these little ones. They did so good. They did really, really well. And next week, we're talking about adding an element in the service just for you guys, something special that might be fun for everybody. So, and I'd like to see what the adults do with it, too. So we're talking about different ideas. So thank you, children, for hanging out with us in Big Church. Thank you for being here. Let me pray. These guys are ready to receive you if you want to talk. Let's go to the Lord. Heavenly Father, thank you again for this day. Thank you for the wonderful, wonderful privilege of being gathered again. And whether it's in person in this building or through technology, we have been one church. And again, they tell me, in many, many thousands of locations. But here on this campus, it's been so good to see some people that we haven't seen in quite a while, to see some faces, some smiling eyes, just to know that we could hear one another's voices again, just to get up and get back into the house of the Lord. If we can be anywhere, if we can be anywhere, Lord, surely we can be a church gathered again. Thank you for each person here and at home and wherever they may be. Bless them today. Give our ladies the very best Mother's Day they have ever had. And I lift this prayer in Jesus' name. And the people of God said, amen. God bless you. You're dismissed. Thank you so much for watching us today. God is doing absolutely amazing things in and through our Grace Baptist Church family. If you'd like to share anything the Lord is doing in your life, feel free to reach out to us through our website or our app. And if you're ever in the Knoxville area, come by and worship with us and our family of faith here at Grace Baptist Church.